Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's that portrait on the wall of free speech. You know the portrait on the wall where, you know, you move in one direction and its eyes kind of follow you across the room, and you move in the other direction and the eyes follow you? Because free speech, we are being watched. People who speak freely are being watched, and we're going to have to be a little bit careful about what we say, even as we speak freely. You can speak freely and sometimes carefully. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. You know it's badly needed. Okay, today is the start of our week. We've got with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. And I very much liked the little intro you did. I felt it might somewhat have been linked to the video I made, or didn't make on Friday, but released last Friday, which was about the potential loss of internet free speech in Britain and just how repressive the surveillance state is becoming, not just in America, but in Britain and all over Europe. And I'd say mainly in the Western world. I mean, a lot of people like to talk about loss of freedom in countries like China and North Korea, but I'd say when it comes down to internet surveillance and the loss of rights on the internet, there's no country that is experiencing that more than Great Britain.
Now, and I did hear your broadcast. I also heard the one on the 1980s cartoons, and if you were talking about 1950s or 1960s cartoon, it would have been, or even 1990s. 1980s was a decade where I wasn't hearing any of those cartoons, so I don't have much to add to that show. But the one on that, okay, well, first of all, just describe, what is this legislation that is being proposed by your conservative government?
Well, the legislation is called the Online Safety Bill, and you've got to say this. You've got to say this. What a name for this, the Online Safety Bill. And this reminds me of the Patriot Act straight away, because it sounds like it can only be a good thing. I mean, who wouldn't want people to be safe online? Who wouldn't want people to be safe online? You know, everyone wants people to be safe online, especially children.
Yeah, you won't get, well, especially Hitler. But sorry, every time I hear that word, especially, now I'm thinking of Hitler. Sorry about that. Anyway,
it's okay.
Are you thinking, I don't know where that came from. Anyway, are we thinking of, like, getting electrocuted through the mouse or something? I mean, what is it that's not safe about being online?
Well, apparently, what's not safe about being online is what is described as legal yet harmful speech. Legal yet harmful. And this was originally in the bill, but apparently the government are saying now they're going to tone this part of the bill down and remove this term from the bill. But at time of writing, and when I published my video, it actually hadn't been removed. It's still on the government website. The government website is still using the terminology legal but harmful. And what legal but harmful is speech that could... Actually, let me explain in full. It's speech that causes others harm. But harm is not quantifiable. Harm, according to this bill, is absolutely not quantifiable. It's not, say, like physical harm, where you can quantify how much somebody has been hurt. You can figure out what physical damage has been caused to them. The harm we're talking here is psychological harm. That is what it is termed. It's termed as psychological harm in the bill. And if a post made on a social network causes somebody psychological harm, that person can then request that post to be removed, and it would have to be removed under the new guidance by the social network in question. Now, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Because it basically means, in layman's terms, that let's say you, Patrick Slattery, wrote a post on social media, and after writing that post, somebody, we'll call this somebody, Little Miss Snowflake, gets upset, writes to the social network and says, hey, this post caused me psychological harm, it upset me, it hurt my feelings, let's have it removed, please. Now that sounds bad, doesn't it? In fact, that sounds really, really terrible. But it actually gets worse. The bill also suggests that, and I want to get this very right, risk or the potential of harm is as bad as harm itself. So let's say you, Patrick Slattery, were to write a post on social media and somebody else was to feel that your post posed the potential of harm to another person, even if that other person that we're talking about has never seen your post, doesn't know you exist, isn't on your Facebook page, isn't following your Twitter, that can be enough for the post to be removed. And repeated instances of this could lead to individuals being jailed for up to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's solving the problem of safe but legal free speech by making free speech illegal. And so now, harmful but legal. Harmful but legal. And so now all harmful speech will be illegal. Well, and everybody will be safe.
This is the thing. It's a bill that fundamentally is so badly worded that it would be open to any interpretation imaginable. It's so open-ended, the metrics are so vague, it could literally make anything illegal simply on the basis of, it might cause somebody's feelings to be hurt. Or a third party might believe that this post could hurt the feelings of somebody else who has never seen said post. And that is absolutely chilling. It's absolutely chilling. In fact, I would say that this particular bill would make anything in 1984, the book that is, look preferable, look tame, look reasonable. This is a bill that would make George Orwell think, my book wasn't hard hitting enough. I mean, it's truly, truly shocking. But unfortunately, it is absolutely what we are dealing with. It's what we as people in Britain today are dealing with. And things, unfortunately, are only going to get worse. They're not going to get any better. Now, I wish I could say that was just the start of the bill, because the Conservative government now, thanks to free speech activists, have said that they're going to remove the term legal but harmful. But legal but harmful isn't the only thing within that bill, which is absolutely scandalous. The bill also includes provisions for social networks and search engines to be regulated by the Office of Communications. Now, the Office of Communications in Britain, Ofcom, would be given the right, or actually, when I say given the right, it would be told to set up a new committee, this advisory committee. And this advisory committee would be placed in charge of monitoring the internet. And that monitoring would ensure that information that the government deems as misinformation would not be allowed to be spread or disseminated. And if Ofcom were to decide that a platform was not removing said misinformation, then UK residents would either be restricted from accessing the platform or the search engine in question, or the platform itself could be fined up to £18 million or 10% of their revenue, whichever is higher. And the full name for that advisory committee is the Advisory Committee on Disinformation and Misinformation. Now, Ofcom are already experienced with that kind of extreme censorship, as during the COVID pandemic, they issued an order to all broadcast media forbidding them from airing what was termed in the press as contrary narrative. So they said, look, you can't report anything that goes against the idea of masks, the idea of the jabs, you have to stick to what the government's saying. So they're already used to doing this. And this would actually allow Ofcom to effectively shut down any social media companies or any search engine providers that did not curate the information on their site in line with the government's view of what is true and what they class as misinformation. And what this could actually lead to, and this is one of the most worrying things, because in this bill there's also talk of identity verification measures. So if you were repeatedly searching for things that the government didn't want you to see, you could be identified and you could get a visit from the police. So we're moving really, I would say, into unchecked territory at the moment. This new bill is unchecked territory. Now, luckily, the government have already, well, I say luckily because we don't know. The government have said that they've pledged to remove the clause legal but harmful. They've said that. But whether they do or not is another thing entirely. And also, even if they do remove legal but harmful, that still does not change the other sections in the bill about search engine provision, about information on social networks, and about fines being levelled to social networks for the spread of, as I said, so-called misinformation. And this would place normal British people in a position that they've never been placed in before on the internet, where what was once this beacon of hope for the spread of free information would be ultimately just as controlled as anything you were to see, read or hear in the mainstream media. And I think this is all very, very worrying. And it really is one of the greatest fundamental threats to our freedom that I have actually ever seen in my life. I've been in politics now for 22, 23 years, and I've never seen anything that is this draconian and that is this worrying from the point of view of free speech.
And, you know, it comes at a time where you've got a very similar bill that's being introduced into the American House of Representatives by one Sheila Jackson Lee, who she's been around for a while. And she voted against the Iraq war in 2003, but I don't think she's cast a decent vote since then. She's introducing something that I think is rather similar, although maybe a little more specific. This is called the Leading Against White Supremacy Act of 2023, because she's a leader and she's a black lady. She represents the slums of Houston. And I'm not going to read much from this bill, but it's in the same genre. To prevent and prosecute white supremacy inspired hate crime and conspiracy to commit white supremacy inspired hate crime, and to amend Title 18 U.S. State Code to expand the scope of hate crimes. The thing is, it's this inspired word that is so problematic. Well, there's also white supremacy. What's white supremacy? What is hate crime? And what is inspired? Right? So you've got, just like with you, I mean, you've got all of these vague terms that, how are they going to interact? And so here, if somebody on the internet, for instance, says, you know, blacks commit more crimes than whites. Well, then supposedly, which is a fact, you know, you can cite whatever fact you want. But if that gets somebody riled up and they were to, commit a crime, and then that crime could be said to have been inspired by the person on the radio, well, then the person on the radio, person on the internet, is liable. So, very, very vague, and obviously this is getting this is getting pushback not just from the internet, it's getting pushback from Fox News and whatnot. I don't see it passing. Sheila Jackson Lee's in the minority now. The Democratic Party doesn't have a majority in the House of Representatives. But still, it's out there. Like, I guess in the case of Britain, the legislation you're talking about is being proposed by the ruling party and thus has a very real chance of being passed. This is more of...
And I just want to add, when we say it's the ruling party, Patrick, it's not the ruling party with opposition from the opposition parties. It is the ruling party with the complete support of the opposition party or the opposition party. So all of the other parliamentary parties are in favour of this to what you could say differing degrees. So you're not actually looking at, you're not actually looking at a situation where you're going to have any pushback from any organisation or any party on this. So, you know, the Conservatives are going to push for this. It is their bill, but it is being supported by Labour. It's being supported by the Liberal Democrats. So essentially, and very unfortunately, you have a situation where it is going to pass. This is going to be a bill that does pass. The only thing that may stop it is the House of Lords might decide we're not having this because it is an actual threat to freedom of speech, and the Lords might kick it back. And there might be some form of governmental pushback in that case. Occasionally, the House of Lords will make a reasonable call like that. But that doesn't mean the government can't force it through. The government can override the House of Lords if they choose. It rarely happens, but it could happen. And I think these are scary times that we're living in, because you can see now that a whole raft of completely legal speech is currently being criminalized by our governments. You know, and this isn't just happening in the UK, where obviously we don't have the First Amendment rights, but this is also happening in America. And I do find it really interesting, because you will still have conservative outlets in the UK and in America, I'm sure, that make a big deal about China. There's this thing of, oh, but China, you know, just take a look at what they're doing in China. They're so repressive in China. And I'm not saying living in China is the greatest thing ever. I'm not saying we should all move to China or anything like that. So please don't want anyone misquoting me on this. But what I am saying is, I do find it very telling that it's always China and North Korea are these absolute hellscapes that the West likes to mock. But in many ways, Western nations are actually just as repressive, if not more repressive, than China or North Korea. And the thing that makes it scary is the West is still the world's technological leader when it comes to methods of, surveillance. So what you've actually got here is a situation where, due to the technology that the West possesses when it comes to surveillance, you can actually find that it is much, much more oppressive living in a Western nation under that, different form of surveillance technology than it would be in a country like China or North Korea, which hasn't quite caught up with the West yet. And we already know just how America and Britain spend billions and billions of dollars or pounds each year just to monitor their own citizens, not to monitor foreign governments, not to spy on Russia, but to spy on their own civilians. And again,
The fight for Speaker of the House seems to be the big news. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code Lighthouse at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system for flu season. For the first time in 100 years, the Speaker of the House vote has gone on for days. At the time of this recording, there have been 11 votes and still no Speaker elected. I think the fact that Kevin McCarthy has tried 11 times and has not even considered stepping aside, nothing but an indication of McCarthy's ego. It has been my experience that anyone who wants a job of power this badly is not the person we the people should want to have that job. I am glad this fight is happening. My opinion of several members of Congress has changed during this process, some for the better and some for the worse. Aside from politics, I would like to ask for your help again. My dear friend lost everything on December 30th when her apartment building was destroyed by fire. My friend Tashoy is starting the new year with absolutely nothing. If you are able, please help my friend through the GoFundMe link at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivus Pashem, Parabellum. Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Their own citizens, not to monitor foreign governments, not to spy on Russia, but to spy on their own civilians. And again, it's another thing you hear about Russia, isn't it? How oppressive and terrible it would be to live in Russia. But I would wager that Putin spends far less money monitoring Russians than Biden spends monitoring Americans. And I would also wager that there are plenty of parts of Russia where there really isn't that much surveillance at all, and people live still relatively freely. Whereas in the West, especially here in the UK, I mean, I live in quite a rural area, and everywhere you go, there's CCTV. I would say Western nations, there's probably more CCTV in Western nations than there are than there is in the rest of the world put together.
Well, I've heard that actually Britain is the leader in that. That Britain is the most video surveilled country on earth.
That wouldn't surprise me. Because everywhere you go, it is in your. Everywhere you go, Patrick, it's in your face, and that's not. That isn't. That's not hyperbole. That's not me saying, oh, you know, it's everywhere, mate. And then you get here, and there's a couple of cameras. I mean, it is everywhere. And one thing I've noticed as well is the public are being drawn into this. So we have these things called Ring doorbells. I don't know if you know what they are. They're basically, I'm not sure whether they're owned by Amazon or Google. It's one of the two. It's either an Amazon thing or a Google thing. And it's a doorbell which is constantly recording. And it can store up to something like 30 days data. So if somebody comes to your door to deliver a leaflet or a parcel or anything like that, the person delivering it is being surveilled, and the street at the front is constantly being surveilled. And that means if a leafleter comes and puts a leaflet through your door, they are being surveilled. So now, when a nationalist group goes out leafleting, there is always a call from the police. If you've got a Ring doorbell and you've seen, you know, Mr. Nationalist come down your street and put a leaflet through the door, be the first to tell us. It's absolutely scandalous. So you're doing nothing illegal, but you're constantly being surveilled. And then the police ask for the civilian surveillance tapes to persecute people who have absolutely done nothing wrong.
Yeah, and of course, the people who are doing nothing wrong are showing their faces, and the people with the sinister intent are conveniently able to mask their faces because of the deadly coronavirus.
Well, I'll tell you this, that is another thing as well. It's amazing, isn't it? When you have somebody, the police in this country have in the past arrested people for wearing face coverings on demonstrations, have arrested people for, basically more or less nothing. You know, there's a guy out on a demo, you know, he's covered his face, and basically that's it. You know, bam, you're getting arrested. Now, you're basically legislating for that with the coronavirus masks. And I suppose that's one way to get around this. But I wouldn't want to wear one of those masks, because that's another form of,
people don't want to wear those masks. We don't want to commit crimes.
We're not committing any bloody crimes.
We don't want to commit crimes. We're not aiming to commit crimes. We're not aiming to commit violence. And we want to breathe, and we want to speak freely and breathe freely. Now, what's going on in American cities right now? I know in Atlanta, I think in Boston as well, is they're having riots now, because some sort of good boy got shot by police in a shootout. He was in a shootout and he lost, and I don't know all the details, but they're having all these riots in Atlanta, burning police cars. And, you know, the video I see, you got that guy Andy NGO is on the ground and he's taking videos. And you see the rioters, and they're all wearing the coronavirus masks, and so you can't see who they are. Very convenient. Another fun fact, and a video was released recently, earlier this month, from Toronto, Canada, and it's from, you know, speaking of George Floyd and black riots and everything, that all started because George Floyd in May of 2020, while he was being arrested for having committed a crime, and he was somebody who had spent one third of his adult life incarcerated because of a string of felonies that he had committed. And he died of a drug induced heart attack while the police were holding him down. Well, there is now this video that was released from a Toronto hospital, Toronto, and it was also from May 2020, exact same month. And there was a woman in the hospital sitting in the corridor, but she had her mask down. And some nurse came up and got in her face and was trying to tell her to put the mask up. And you don't hear it. I don't hear anything, but you see the video. And then a security guard comes over, and then they start wrestling with her. And then the camera gets turned away. And then the next thing you see is her lifeless body being pulled through the hallway. And they had gotten on top of her. And her mask was down because she had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And so she was in the hospital not because she had coronavirus, but because she had lung issues and had trouble breathing. And they were trying to make her...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And so she was in the hospital not because she had coronavirus, but because she had lung issues and had trouble breathing. And they were trying to make her breathe through a mask. And she says, I can't breathe through the mask. And so they killed her. And the reason I hadn't heard about this because, you know, who cares? It's just just somebody who died, deservedly, because she wouldn't wear a coronavirus mask, because you have to wear those things or, you know, you'd die. But I thought of it because, you know, in Britain, maybe everybody knows they're constantly being surveilled. The thing is that the security guard involved had lied about it in court. He had lied. He had said that the woman had punched the nurse in the face several times before he started wrestling with her. Well, this recently revealed video shows that no, that hadn't happened. And like he said in court, he says that, well, I wouldn't have lied about it if I known I was on video. And, oh, by the way, they got off. And there was another security person.
They got off. How the hell did they get off?
Because there wasn't enough evidence. Because there wasn't the evidence of the actual sitting on the woman on the ground. Because another security guard during the ruckus had turned the camera away physically. Because you see the video and it's kind of in a jerking way moving off to look down this other corridor.
Yeah.
So you didn't actually see the instance where the people are sitting on this woman. Okay, there's only eyewitness account. There's no there's no video evidence, and the security guard who actually physically turned the camera by hand turned the camera said, "Well, I turned the camera because I thought you know it was going to be I don't remember the adjective he used, but you know I was afraid of what would be caught on camera," and they all got off because of lack of evidence. But they made sure there would be a lack of evidence. So I'm just bringing that up. I don't really want to shift the conversation that much from the topic, but yeah, we are being surveilled, and there's massive amount of data that they can accumulate on us. And obviously they've been accumulating data on us for years. I mean, in the wake of the 2001 9/11 events, on Fox News, Britt Hume had a show. He had a show, and Carl Cameron, who was like their number one reporter, they were doing this series. They did a series of five reports from Carl Cameron. The one that was very well remembered was the Dancing Israelis, where they talked about the Israelis who were filming 9/11, and then when it happened, they were celebrating it. So people remember that report. Another report in that series, because it was every day for a week, was on the all the data that was being collected by communications companies like AT&T, all the metadata from your phone calls, who you're calling, you know, what time you're calling, all this stuff. Not necessarily the recordings of the calls, but the metadata from them and the metadata from and the data from credit card companies and everything was being handed over to was being shared with the National Security Agency. And shortly after this, the National Security Agency built this massive facility in Utah that was just a whole bunch of banks of hard drives, which were storing storing massive amounts of data. So the thing was, even 20 something years ago, you had all this data, huge amounts of data that were already, you know, all of our financial transactions, our communications, all sorts of stuff was already being stored. The only saving grace at the time was 20 something years ago, they didn't have the capacity to do real-time analysis. They were saying, oh, we're doing this so that we can catch terrorism before it happens. But they really didn't have that capacity back then. They did have the capacity to effectively have files on everybody, and if somebody came across their radar screen, they could go back and check the files, and, you know, they'd have massive stuff to use against them. But now, of course, 20 years later, there's all sorts of a lot of headway's been made in artificial intelligence and whatnot, and so they probably would be able to screen out problem people before it happens. But problem people aren't terrorists. Problem people are whites. And the last thing I'll say is that legislation from Sheila Jackson Lee that only criminalizes things that are said about non-whites. It's specifically in the legislation about non-whites. So if somebody were to say nasty things about whites, and then you get black criminals, black rioters who then beat up whites, that's okay. That's okay. And of course that actually happens all the time. But if things are said about non-whites, and then a crime is committed against non-white, then the person who said something like, you know, blacks have a lower IQ or more prone to violence, then that person is liable. Kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, that's another important part of these bills, or obviously laws, if they finally end up getting passed, is they're written in such a way that they only target one type of person, which is white people. They're written in a way that often is completely exclusionary. So if you were writing a bill like this, to be fair, and if you wanted to create some, you know, if the aim was to create this multiracial utopia that they like to talk of, you would probably start it by saying, look, we are trying to criminalize all sort of speech online that leads to inter-ethnic conflict. That would be the mantra. The mantra would be, we are trying to solve inter-ethnic conflict by making it illegal to discuss things online that may lead to one ethnic group attacking another ethnic group. But it's never, ever, ever worded in that way. And it's never worded in that way because the game plan is never, ever to stop inter-ethnic conflict. The game plan is to promote inter-ethnic conflict when it is black on white, but to criminalize any form of white awakening to what is going on. So, for example, if you say, you know, whitey is evil and it's time that those crackers got what was coming to them, that would be absolutely legal. But if you were to turn around and say, hey, look, these black rioters are destroying white shops and white people need to come together as a cohesive ethnic group and form a shield wall in order to protect their wives, their children, their property, that would then be illegal. And it's always that one-way street. And I find this very, very notable because in the UK, it's exactly the same. When other ethnic groups talk about how evil whites are, and they don't even have to be factual here. There is no, when you're talking about how bad somebody who is white is or how bad whites are as a group, there doesn't actually have to be any factual basis in that. It can just be your opinion. Whereas if a white person comes out and says, well, hey, I believe that we're not totally compatible with these migrants because, well, that's my opinion. And fundamentally, you can see how much trouble is being created by mass immigration. That, because it is a white person voicing that opinion, can then go on to be, you know, essentially a hate crime. And that is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a situation where you have these incredibly anti-white double standards. And these incredibly anti-white double standards create a one-way street of criminalization that only affects people of European descent.
Right.
And
I was
just going to say one more thing before you finish up, before you go on. I'm sorry, I don't want to dominate this, but I just want to say one more thing. One thing I find that is a key part of this, and this is so very, very important to remember, is that this isn't just something that's happening in the UK. It's not just something that's happening in America. And I talk about this a lot, but this is a common thing across every white nation. Whether that white nation is a place where people of European descent are the indigenous people, or whether that white nation is a place which Europeans founded due to pioneering colonization, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the status of the white man. The white man faces these restrictive and unfair laws, which tells you that this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy against people of European descent intended to silence them from speaking out in their own defense.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, speaking out in their own defense. So this is just a tiny bit. I'm just reading a tiny bit of this. You won't get the whole idea of the law, but you'll get the thrust of it. So this is about, what is it to be white supremacy inspired hate crime? And so at least one of whom, who's guilty? Well, at least one of whom published material advancing white supremacy, white supremacist ideology, antagonism based on replacement theory, or hate speech that vilifies or is otherwise directed against any non-white person or group. So there's, it's about white supremacy. You can be all for black supremacy, obviously all for Jewish supremacy. That's no problem, but specifically white supremacy. And anything, and you're guilty of this if you, if your speech is directed against any non-white person or group. I mean, wow, non-white, white people, you can say anything. You can say anything against white people in here, but any speech that vilifies or otherwise is directed against non-white person. And what is published material? Published material is, published on social media platform. So, I mean, or by other means of publication, with the likelihood that it would be viewed by persons who are predisposed to engaging in action. So, I mean, you can't even complain about a non-white person on social media. You can't complain against, because that is speech against a non-white person. You can't have speech against a non-white person on the internet or anywhere else where somebody might hear you.
And you know, the thing that scares me the most about these Orwellian bills is that they are usually supported by both sides of the political elite. So
I'm sorry, I should have said this, but I mean, the thing is, the bill you're talking about in Britain is going to pass. This one's not going to pass, but it is part of this. You know, we've been hearing about white supremacy. It's part of the conditioning of the population towards white supremacy, and eventually something, some watered down version of this is going to pass.
But usually both sides of the House do support these things, because you have the, at best case scenario, you have the liberals or the leftists who are pushing for something like this. And the conservative side of the House, usually because they're so desperate not to be called racist, will go along with it. Or, in the case of Britain, it's the conservative side of the House who are pushing it, claiming, you know, erroneously to the public, that this is in fact a genuine conservative style law that will restore family values and will actually protect children. But that isn't the case, because this isn't going to stop hardcore pornography from being spread. This isn't going to stop the spread of child porn or animal porn or anything objectionable like that on the internet. This is only going to criminalize people who have absolutely valid opinions, whose opinions fall within the scope of existing laws. And the conservatives will then say, oh, well, we haven't actually changed the law. We haven't made this speech illegal. We've just tightened things up on social networks, which is what some conservatives, some people will go along with this and say, oh, isn't it great, Beryl? They're finally getting to grips with that bloody Facebook and all the misinformation on it. Oh, and what these conservatives think when they're talking like that is they actually believe completely naively that when it comes down to it, the crackdown on this horrible Facebook, these horrible social networks, is actually some kind of moral stance on behalf of the government, which is going to reintroduce morality. So they'll see things like, you know, girls shaking their booties on Instagram, or, you know, people posting horrible things on Facebook. And they'll think that that's what this is for, that this is actually to, you know, bring some morality to social networks. It's not about bringing morality to social networks at all. This isn't anything to do with actual conservatism or morality. This is to do with taking away free speech from normal people who have absolutely valid concerns about the ethnic trajectory of Western nations. And this is, as I said, I think I said this earlier, that the Patriot Act was named so well. I mean, how couldn't you support that? You know, if you're a patriot, you'd got to be on board with the Patriot Act. And I think this is exactly the same in Britain with this horrible bill. How could you possibly stand against online safety? You know, after everything we've heard about child pornography and the exploitation of children and animals online, what kind of monster would dare say that they were against a bill that was going to make the internet more safe? It's got nothing to do with safety. The real name for this bill should be the Draconian Online Censorship Bill. You know, that's what it should be called. And if you read the government's fluff on this, their waffle, it makes it sound like they're doing the public a favour. No favour is being done here. This would, and all these Conservatives cheering it along, thinking it's going to clean up the internet, they'd probably be the first people that would get caught.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
It makes it sound like they're doing the public a favour. No favour is being done here. This would, and all these Conservatives cheering it along, thinking it's going to clean up the internet, they'd probably be the first people that would get caught out under this bill the moment they said something like, bloody hell, those boats are all over, aren't they? They're coming in by the boatload. Soon there won't be any white people left in Britain. And once they've said that, you've got the coppers knocking at your door. It's shocking. And it's just a classic case of how the Conservatives or Republicans, or, you know, the right party, I said the right wing party of power or the House, con their supporters into voting or supporting legislation which actually reduces everyone's freedom of speech.
Well, and you know, in a way, it's not so much the freedom of speech. I mean, there's that aspect of it. You could look at it as freedom of speech as being restricted. Although, the freedom of speech of a angry black or an angry Jew is not really being restricted. They're able to say what they want. What's being restricted often when you look at it is simply reality. It's truth and reality. Because the fact is that, like in Sheila Jackson's Lee bill, you're not allowed to talk about replacement theory. Well, the fact is, if you look at the census data over the past several decades, whites were, 87% of the population in America in 1960, and they, in the next census in 1930, will they even be a majority? And maybe not. And so they are being replaced. That's a fact. Blacks are much more likely to commit crime. That's a fact. It's in all the data. But you can't talk about the census data. You can't talk about the crime data. And of course, Jews do run all these big media companies, or, the bulk of them, and you just can't say anything. So it's not even it's more than outlawing free speech. It's outlawing truth and reality, which is weird. We're coming up towards the end of the show, Mark.
Well, I was going to add one final thing to this.
Please do.
And it's that, unfortunately, under these bills, often the truth is no defense. So if you actually say, well, I'm only speaking the truth, that is absolutely not a defense, which is even worse.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the point is, it's not that the truth is no defense. It's the truth is the crime.
Yes. Yes.
Specifically. Yeah.
I agree fundamentally with everything you're saying. And if you want to know more about the online safety bill or want to hear my very short and shareable video about it, please, please do check it out. Please, please do check it out. It's available on my Odyssey and my BitChute. So if you like that kind of thing, please support those channels. I put a lot of effort into them. Please help them grow. Please help me. Everything on there is free. There's no paywalls. There's no mandatory donations. And a little sub from you means a lot to me. So thank you so much. And thank you for having me on, Patrick.
And go and at the Mark's Odyssey channel, and you can if you like 1980s cartoons, go listen to it. I learned a lot, because I know if you're ever going to do one on 1950s or 60s cartoons, have me on, and I'll tell you all about Bullwinkle. Okay.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too.
Easeoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.